Welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast in which I interview New York City's kind of eligible. Today, I have a guest that I actually just met. We met for coffee earlier this week, and I had a last minute schedule switch. So I'm really excited to get her in. She's coming in completely unprepared. I asked her to do it super last minute, but I'm really excited to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
So I would love to learn a little bit more about you. So do you mind telling me how old you are, where you're from, where in New York City you live now, and what you do for work?
I'm 27. I'm from North Carolina, but you can probably hear my accent. And I live in Greenpoint right now. And I'm a grad student at NYU.
What are you doing there? And what did you do for undergrad?
Yeah, I went to undergrad at UNC Chapel Hill. And I studied broadcast journalism and did not want to do that. So I kind of bopped around for a few years and then was like, oh, I really like writing. And so I'm in a master's program at the Journalism Institute at NYU. It's a literary journalism program.
So how long have you been in New York City for?
Almost 3 months. I'm coming up on my 3 month mark.
Oh my gosh. So you're on the scene. You're so new. How did you end up in Greenpoint and how are you liking it so far?
So I'm living with a friend from undergrad and we just came up for a literal day and we got here at noon and we saw 12 places we knew we wanted to stay in Brooklyn. So we were kind of all over the place and just didn't have great luck. We couldn't find anything we liked. And I was like, maybe we should just up our budget a little bit and see if there's somewhere else we can look. And this is the last apartment we looked at and we were both this place is perfect. It's checking all of our boxes. So it was truly by accident. But we really like it because it's kind of quiet. And I'm from the country. So I need a little bit of quiet every now and then.
I know. So how does it kind of relate being from North Carolina and then now living in New York City?
They're very different, obviously. I'm from a small town, farm town. Behind my parents' house is a cornfield. So it's different because I wasn't even a city in North Carolina. But it's been fun and it was a little bit of an adjustment, but I feel I've adjusted pretty easily. But that could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, even Chapel Hill, and I have some ties to that Chapel Hill triangle area. So I've been a few times. It's a huge college town because you have UNC, you have Duke. Mm-hmm. And I went to school in Pittsburgh, so I was still in a city relatively. I assume that Durham and Chapel Hill would also kind of be a city, but it's not. It's very much just the college and then the few streets of town around it. So it's really not a city. I feel Raleigh is the city.
Yeah. But those would still be considered cities to us, which is crazy. Durham has definitely more city-like areas, but it's pretty big and kind of spread out. Mm-hmm. Really cool place though. But Chapel Hill, I always say, is just they built a school in the middle of the country because driving down Martin Luther King Boulevard and there's deer on either side of the road. So yeah, it's not the city like this is nowhere in North Carolina is, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, Greenpoint is relatively quiet, right? So, yeah. And Brooklyn is, I wouldn't say Brooklyn's the closest thing you can get to the country in New York City. I feel there is relatively suburban living in certain parts of New York City, in Bay Ridge, Forest Hills, up in the Bronx, Staten Island, mm-hmm. is all houses. Those are way more kind of suburban living, but you have access to the city.
Yeah.
Not that North Carolina, I wouldn't even describe necessarily as some parts are suburban, but it's kind of country.
Oh, very. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess since it's your coming up on 3 months, usually I ask people where do they like to eat and where do they like to go out? And I'm not sure how much you've been able to do in 3 months, but I would love to hear it.
Yeah, I can't say much to the going out part, but this is overwhelming because the city's so big and there's a bajillion things to do in one block. So I was I'll just get familiar with Greenpoint and bop around there and then I'll like start branching out. So my favorite place to eat in Greenpoint right now, I've been like killing it out, is a Lebanese restaurant called Eddie's Grocer. So he has there's like a shop area and like a market area, but they have food. And so I've been going there like once or twice a week and buying things from the fridge and like coming home and like snacking on like olives and stuff for like my meals. So that's been my spot. Yeah, literally. That's been my spot here. It's just so good. And then I guess like the other place I frequent a lot is Cafe Grumpy in Greenpoint. It's the best like place to work in the neighborhood, and I just got a desk this week, so I've been having to leave every time I want to go like do some work. And so that's my favorite place to get coffee. And they have this really yummy fall drink. I hope they keep it a few more weeks, but it's apple cider and matcha, and it's so freaking good. So I've been those are my two spots lately. Yeah.
That's awesome. Eddie's Grocer is great. Like the food is so good.
Yeah, I know, and it's not like a fancy place, but I'm obsessed with it.
No, yeah, no. It's really that. It's like a good spot. I've heard Radio Bakery in Greenpoint is really good if you have the chance to go. And obviously, same with Taqueria Ramirez. People like love it. I would love to learn like a little bit more about your background, your life in North Carolina, and what it was like, kind of growing up there. Do you have any siblings? What's your family like?
Yeah, I'm from a small town in the southeastern part of the state. If you're familiar at all with North Carolina geography, we're like the halfway point between Wilmington and Raleigh. I always say we're like the town in Radiator Springs because people used to drive through there before they put Interstate 40 in. And now it's just kind of like bypassed. But yeah, my family all lived in the town that I grew up in. I had one aunt whose husband was in the military, so she was away for a while, but they eventually moved back. My aunt and uncle moved when I was in eighth grade. But other than that, everyone is there. So I grew up like around my family and really close with my family. But like being in a town where there wasn't a lot to do, like I was, like we were homebodies. And I have one sister who's 22. And so she just got her first job too. So she's like, moved to Charlotte. Yeah. She moved to Charlotte. And so our parents are like having empty nest syndrome for the first time because we're both like further away from them than we've ever been. But yeah, growing up around my family and like my childhood best friend is also my cousin. And so it's just, I think it's different, but it was really fun.
A very small, like, insular community. And
kind of. We are the, like, biggest town in our county, but there's, like, a population of less than 10,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So the thing where, like, you're never, like, too many degrees of separation from someone. Mm-hmm. So even if someone doesn't know you, they might know like one of your parents or like one of your aunts or uncles. Very much like a, if everyone doesn't know you, they know of you or of your family type situation, which has its perks, but also its downsides.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine like dating in a really small community must be tough. Like I think to some degree, you know, I grew up in New York City, like the complete opposite of what you're describing. And there's like so many people here. But when you kind of grow up here, the community feels really small. Like everybody knows each other. Like somebody might know this person's family, that person's family. So it feels like really, really kind of small and insular. And like it's counterintuitive because we grew up in the largest city in the world. But it's a funny way of how like community can feel really small, especially for me, like being South Asian. I feel like we had like a specific like South Asian community who grew up in New York City, and like all of those people know each other too. So like even within the larger kind of like community, there are niche towns that are like so easy to be.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is my community. These are the people I know. Like, and I think a lot of people have that experience with other like facets of their life. Like whether they go to church or synagogue or like something like that, like there's so much interconnectedness for those smaller communities. So I can't even imagine like to make that subset 10,000 people and then niche down within that must have been very interesting.
Yeah.
So you grew up in North Carolina. You grew up kind of in a small town. What brought you to journalism? Like, what really sparked that interest for you?
Growing up, like, I loved sports. Like, I was not an athlete at all. Like, not an athletic bone in my body. But, like, my dad is a huge sports fan. So every Saturday and Sunday, football on the TV, throughout the week, like baseball games, basketball games, like whatever. And so I like my dream, I thought, was to be a sports reporter, which is why I went into, I studied broadcast, because I wanted to have the mic and I wanted to be on the sideline, like talking to people after games. But I just like didn't love the, like, I just didn't love the broadcast world when I was studying. But that was like what an initially what it was. But now I say, like, my grandmother is like a storyteller. She grew up telling me like stories of her life and like her, like, she grew up in a really small, like, mostly indigenous community. Her dad died when she was 8. And so she kind of grew up really quickly and was like farming, like, legit as an 8 and 9 year old. But she has amazing stories from like the way she grew up. And then like moving off to work and traveling. And so like, I just remember begging her to tell me a story or like tell me a story again. And so I think that's kind of where I like fell in love with like hearing stories and then also telling stories. And I think that's what like journalism is, especially like in the program I'm in now, is just storytelling. And so I owe that to my granny.
That's amazing. So are you Indigenous?
Yeah.
Is that like your background?
Yes, I'm the member of a small tribe in North Carolina called the Kahiri, but there are two other tribes that like my grandparents are from, which are the Lumbee tribe, which a lot of people have heard of, and then a smaller one called the Waccamaw Suwan. So I grew up like in the Kahiri community, but my grandma's from the Waccamaw Suwan community. So we spent a lot of time there and visiting my great grandmother, and just that was an important part of my identity to me growing up, because even though I was in a community where there were Native people, there weren't many. And so just kind of having to a lot of times like not assert my identity, but I had to be comfortable sharing who I was really young, because I guess you could put me in a racially ambiguous category. Like, I just remember being in the fourth grade and like someone speaking Spanish to me and I like, didn't understand, and they like thought that I like couldn't speak my own language. And I was like, no, like, that's not like where I'm from. That's not who I am. So just having to get comfortable like sharing like that part of my identity really young. So it's just been always been important to me to like know about it and like I kind of seek that representation and that community.
I guess I didn't really even think about it, but I guess I didn't know what your background was. But I mean, even I can relate. People speak Spanish to me sometimes and I'm like,
yeah.
But I think like being just like brownish, you know, people are like, yeah, what are you?
Even like since I've moved here, because like going to like one of the bodegas near my apartment, someone came in one day and he was asking for help in Spanish, and the owner looked at me, he said, "Can you help him out?" I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish." And then the next time I went in, "Where are you from? Like, where are you from?" So like, just like, I guess like it's a benefit that I got so used to answering it early.
How do you think that, like, did your background influence any of your upbringing or your values? Because I feel like that's true for me as like a South Asian person. I've felt a lot of that kind of immigrant mentality and things like that, but I don't know so much about like indigenous culture and what those values are and what sort of things like you had to grow up with.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's different for every tribe and every person, but my grandmother, like, her work was rooted in indigenous communities. So she traveled like the entire country helping different tribes do different things. And so she would come back and kind of share about other tribes who like weren't ours, but it was nice to like learn what they did and like what she was learning from them. I think it was just like my grandparents and great grandparents and whoever were like brown people in the South. So it wasn't easy for them. Even like my parents, like growing up in the South as brown people, I don't think was always easy. And so just like this, like pride in your background and being where you were from, but also like to work hard, like no member of my family ever didn't work hard. Like my dad was working in the fields as a kid. He was one of 7 siblings. My grandfather was like off working. Like, just like, to me, that's also like just as important as like my identity as an indigenous person, is just working hard to make it. Sounds kind of dramatic, but I feel like that's something that I got to see a lot and hear a lot.
Yeah. So obviously this is a dating podcast, so I want to hear a little bit about your dating life. And I can't imagine, you know, dating kind of within a pool of, you had 10,000 people in a town growing up, and then all of a sudden you go to Chapel Hill, which is a big school, right? It's like what, 30,000 people or something like that?
Yeah.
So what was that experience like for you? Were you dating when you were in like high school and stuff, or was that, was the community like too small or not really like something you were able to do?
Yeah, I dated in high school like a little bit, nothing ever like serious, I guess. But yeah, like when I went to Chapel Hill, like I said, and you said, like it's three times the size of my hometown in terms of population. So I think moving there was also just like adjusting to being in a big place, which is like kind of silly because it's small compared to everywhere else, right? But yeah, I mean, I dated like some in high school. I've never been like a huge dater, like one-offs. I had like a couple of boyfriends in my lifetime before like graduating. I don't know if that was a great way to answer that question. The answer is I dated some, not a lot.
What was like your very first relationship?
So he was in my... We had a class together. I don't remember what class. And like, I like thought he was flirting with me, and he was, because then he asked me out. So we dated for a few months. And he was my first boyfriend. He was like really sweet. He was older, like just a year older. But it's kind of crazy because when I graduated from Carolina, I moved back home, like to my hometown, because I was like trying to figure out like what I was going to do, and ended up working with that ex-boyfriend. Because I was a teacher for a year and a half. And so he was a teacher.
Oh, wow.
And he ended up, like, marrying a girl that, like, I grew up going to church with. And so, like, we would, like, run into each other a lot. And I just remember, like, the kids, like, loved him. Because, like, they just love all young teachers. Because, like, they think you're more relatable. And yeah. So I was 22, which means he was, like, 23 or 24. And they'd say, "Miss, did you know so-and-so in high school?" And I was just like... Yeah, we had some classes together, but like I was not gonna tell these 13-year-old kids. Oh no, like yeah, we were boyfriend and girlfriend for a few months.
Yeah.
Like that would not have gone over well.
And that was in high school.
We dated in high school. Yeah,
you dated in high school. So the South is so different because I think also you mentioned that you know you grew up going to church, so maybe that's also a part of it. But like. I think it's compounded, right? Being in the South and also being in maybe like a religious Christian community, I would imagine, that people get married a lot younger than they do in New York City. Like I'm about to be 27, so marriage is not on my radar right now. Like it is something I want to do in the future, but it's like not at all really. I'm like, I'm still a baby. Like I have so much time. And I think that is so normal for New York City and like this kind of mentality. Like there isn't a rush to wanting to get married, but when you're in communities that like yours, like, I think it's more normal that that happens. And even when I went to college, like, I see more of my college friends because we were in Pittsburgh. It was, like, a slightly different environment from New York that people are getting married earlier, that people are looking for that, like, in their life earlier than they are in, like, these big major cities. So, I don't know. Was that, like, do you feel that pressure? Do you see that from, like, other people in your community?
I like never personally felt that pressure from my family, but I think people do. But a fun fact about me is that I was married and like now I'm divorced because like I got married when I was 24 and we'd been dating for 3 years. And so like it felt like a natural thing to do living there because that's like how people do it. I know people who got married at 20 and like now they're already pregnant with their first kid at 21. Like it felt so normal to me that when I was in that situation, I was like, oh, like this is like the next step. Like, and I like felt like I was ready, which like to someone who's like, some people are going to be like really pretentious about that. And say, like, there's no way you thought you were ready for marriage at that age. But like, it's so common, like where I'm from. And like a lot of people there get married really young and have really successful marriages. Like, I don't think I felt that pressure from anyone in my life. I think like I might've been pressuring myself because everyone around me was married. Like if I do the math on my hand right now, two of my best friends are married with kids.
Whoa.
Two of my best
friends.
Were
your age.
Yeah. Two have just gotten married in the past like year and a half. And one's getting married next year. Like the and these are my close some of my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And like now they're 27, so maybe it's like a little bit more. You're kind of getting into the time where other people may be getting married in other places. But I think you definitely, even if it's not conscious, like you feel that subconscious pressure to be married. Because people might say like, oh, like y'all been dating for a while, when you get married.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's not crazy. Like, and obviously, like I want to circle back and talk about this whole relationship that you had. But from 21 to 24, like that's 3 years being with someone. You are an adult. Like people get married at 24. Like that's not a crazy thing. I think my parents got married at like, anyway, I think our generation is also pushing marriage back like later than what it has historically been for good and bad reasons, potentially. Would love to hear more about that relationship for you.
Sure. Let's see. So like I mentioned, like I moved back home after undergrad and was teaching, and his dad was like my next door neighbor. And we had these like outdoor exits because we were in an old school. So like I could enter from an outside door. And like a couple of times he knocked on my door. I was like, hey, like my dad's not answering. Like, can I come through here? Mm. And he's like, sure. And I told my mom, I was like, yeah, like he must be really close with his dad. Cause like we went to high school together. So kind of knew each other. And she was like, he is not close with his dad. And then like eventually, like a week or two later, he asked me on a date. I was like, oh, my mom is so right. And so we dated, which is like a really cute story. Like,
yeah.
You
guys like you knew each other in high school.
Yeah, we were like not in the same grade and like we weren't really friends. We just kind of like knew of each other, reconnected for lack of a better word when I moved back home and like was teaching with his dad. And yeah, so that's like kind of started us dating, and that was 2018, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we dated for a few years, and then
this is after you graduated college, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like in 2020, so I guess we dated for like 2.5 years. And then we got engaged in 2020.
Like pre-COVID or during COVID?
During, but like the way people in New York City talk about COVID is just like not what it was like where I was from.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Like COVID was happening and COVID was bad, but like it was a small town. And unfortunately, like there were a lot of people there who were like, this isn't real. Or like taking it less seriously. Like my family was masked up and but a lot of people weren't. It wasn't the same.
Life was going on like as normal for the most part.
Because like people here talk about like getting on the train and no one was on it, or like walking really far distances because they didn't want to get on the train. I'm trying to think of things that stopped were like church, movie theaters, like a lot of those like big in person things were stopping. But like there wasn't grocery delivery at the time. So you still had to go get groceries. Where I was working at the time, like I still had to go into the office like every other week. So it was a very different world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was living in New York City during COVID and it was.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely like a lot of people taking it seriously. But there were like a fair share of people who were not. And I think that was the case everywhere. And it probably felt more prominent to me because it was a small town.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so engaged during like 2020, like when COVID was happening.
And was it something that you guys had like talked about, or did it come out of the blue?
Okay, we talked about it.
And you felt ready?
Yeah. I mean, like, I felt like any like issues that we had or like needed to work through, like, weren't big enough that they, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they weren't big enough that they were halting anything, which is also probably a sign of how young I was, like in hindsight.
Were you living together?
Mm-mm.
I feel like that's like, I don't know, maybe that's like more of a kind of city thing or something. I don't know. You tell me that the perception of like, you should live with someone before like you get married to them.
No, like there are people who do that, like in the South. And where I'm from, that we just didn't. Like, we were, like my family's pretty religious. Like, they're Christian, and, like, I am too. And, like, that's not something I wanted to do at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have been, like, a motivator, like, subconsciously for getting married.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, hard to, like, at this point, it's so hard for me to say because I feel like I was young and, like, living in this, I thought that my world was this big and, like, that's how big it was always going to be.
So you were in a relationship, you guys had talked about being married. It was relatively normal in the community that you were in. Like, and 2.5 years is not nothing. Like, it is a long time to be with someone, and you are an adult at this point. It's after college. Like, it's not a crazy thing to have happened, you know? So what was it like? The proposal, getting married, did you have a wedding or was it COVID? Like,
The proposal was like I mentioned, I've like talked about my granny so much because I like love her. Mm-hmm. So we like had like a, as I had been saying, like we should have a picnic in my grandma's backyard. Like I used to climb this tree and like, I think it's like the coolest place. Like when I was a kid, it was so mm-hmm. fun to me. And so like we like had a picnic and like that's where he proposed. And then like we had like a little engagement party with my family and his family, some of his family. And yeah, we did have a wedding. We like both of our families are pretty big. So we like just had like a family wedding. And thankfully it was like around the time the vaccine was coming out. So I'd mm-hmm. say like half of my wedding party was vaccinated because of the like jobs that they had. And mm-hmm. then we just had everyone else wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And then we just did like, we went to Nashville for our honeymoon because he'd never traveled a lot and was kind of scared to fly. And then to the mountains in North Carolina for a little while. And then just came back. And like that, I think that's like another testament of like how different it was during COVID there, because we still, we did have a wedding. Like I had a dress, yeah. I had bridesmaids, but definitely smaller than it would have been if it had been a normal time. But still kind of not big, but like there was a decent amount of people there.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
which sounds crazy because I think people are going to say like, oh, this girl had a super spreader event.
No, it's clear that it was a different kind of world. And also like, frankly, this shit was happening all over America. Like yeah. we were all living very different lives during COVID. And I can see why with a community of 10,000 people, it feels really small and it feels like, you know, maybe this isn't as serious as it's being portrayed, like maybe on the media or it, me being in a major city, seeing it being emptied out. Like there was one point during COVID that I was like at my parents' apartment and like didn't leave. Like right at the beginning, I did not leave the apartment for 21 days.
Yeah.
And we were all just kind of like terrified. We would like wear gloves and masks to go get groceries once a week. You know, there was no like food delivery. There was no nothing. Like New York City was completely shut down. All you would hear were sirens and ambulances. And at 7 p.m., everyone would bang pots outside their window for healthcare workers. Like that was yeah. actually what it was like. It was desolate. It was crazy. So like you feel that weight when you're in a city like New York, which is something that's so full, so bustling. But
yeah,
when, like, I don't know, like down in the South, because I moved to Miami for a part of COVID, like in 2021. I think part of like being able to have a lot of outdoor space changes. And not that Miami has a ton of whatever outdoor space compared to the South or North Carolina, but you know, you have the beach, you have like, you have something else. So people feel way more relaxed as opposed to being in a place like New York. So I don't think people are going to listen to this and be like, yeah. Oh my God.
Like, I think because it wasn't the same, right? Like here, it was like all of a sudden, like everything shut down. Like I think what resonated with people more back home was like, because it is a small community. So some people, like some well-known people who like a lot of people really cared about or like really like thought a lot of and respected got sick and died from COVID. Mm. And so I think like that is what kind of made it more real to some people, which is like it shouldn't take that for it mm-hmm. to, but I think that is part of it. I almost like remember so little about that time.
Mm-hmm. It was even talking about it now, I'm like, yeah. It kind of feels very surreal.
It was like a haze.
Yeah. But you got married. Like you had a whole wedding, you had bridesmaids, you found a dress, you went on a honeymoon, like you did the thing. Was he also like indigenous or was he Christian? Like what was the, was there like a lot of alignment? Did your parents like approve of him?
He was white, he wasn't native. Mm-hmm. But like my parents liked him. I think my family thought a lot of him. And I think like when we were married, like for the most part, like things were good for like the first chunk. We were only married for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for the first chunk, things are really good. And then he had, like, a job change. And then after that, things kind of got, like, a little hectic, a little crazy.
Yeah, so what happened?
His, like, mom wasn't a big fan of me. Around Labor Day of the year we were married, like, she came over and we got into, like, a little bit of a verbal spat.
Mm.
And it, like, wasn't good. Like, she was not very nice to me. And so I think that caused some tension a little bit. He, like, realized that something bad had happened that, like, was out of his control. And, like, didn't know how to navigate it. And I, like, probably wasn't very graceful in it because I thought there was a pretty clear answer. And then I guess like he had a friend from high school who like moved back into the area that fall. And so they started hanging out a lot. And this friend was single and like on the dating apps. And so sometimes I wonder if that like maybe had an influence on like some of the issues we ended up having.
It was like a guy friend or?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he was like coming and like hanging out with us. I really liked him. Like he was fun. Like they were like a fun little duo, but I he was single and like just dating a lot and like a lot of different women. So I think that may have influenced the end of like had an influence on the end of our marriage, which was just a few months later after he came around.
What happened?
Long story short, because I could make this story so long, but he ended up like cheating on me. He told me like the next day after it happened. And I was like, I just like packed my stuff up and I was like, I'm going to leave and like figure things out. Cause in North Carolina, you have to be separated for a year before you can get divorced. So I was like, oh, well, like if this is even a possibility that I might like want to leave, then I need to like go ahead and get separate a jump on now. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was like just pretty much the like final, I guess the catalyst more. I like moved out the next day and that was pretty much it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So the story can be as long as you want and as much detail as you feel comfortable giving. But yeah. Like, how did you find out?
He just told you. He just told me. I don't know if it was like a cop out. Like he maybe decided he like wasn't ready to be married anymore or like wasn't ready for marriage or didn't like it. And knew that that would be like a sticking point. Like some people can get over cheating and like some people move on just fine after, but like that wasn't going to be my story. Mm-hmm. And maybe he knew that. And then the girl ended up getting pregnant. So like now he has a whole baby. I'm like hesitant to like tell much more because it involves like a lot of people.
Yeah.
But that was like the final, like it was pretty clear cut after that.
Yeah. So, whoa.
Yeah.
Did you have this like little spat with his mom and that caused some tension? And do you feel like that tension was kind of carried throughout until the end of your marriage? Or like, do you think he was maybe having, from what it sounds like you're saying, maybe he had potentially thought about marriage not being right for him and maybe this was like an out?
Yeah, I think that that just like put a strain on him because like your mom and your wife aren't getting along. Like, what do you mm-hmm. do? Like, I imagine that's a hard situation. And I say not getting along, but I was just like, she was like really ugly to me. And like, mm-hmm. I like can't be around that. Like that's, I've like never asked him not to like, to cut. I never asked him to cut his mom off. That's like not my job. But, and so then like when the cheating happened and he told me, and the next day, because, like, you don't know what you're going to do, like, until you're in that situation.
Right.
And I was working, and I, like, got – he was, like, off at work, and I got a text, and it was, like, I just don't think we need to be together anymore. So, like, to me
– over text?
Right. Yeah, because he told me, and I was, like, I need some space. And, like, then I think we, like, talked on the phone a little bit that morning, and then, like, I just remember him texting me that. And then he, like, had a – this sounds crazy. He's, like – he was a musician. He played, like, a ton of instruments. He was, like, a great singer. And he and some of his friends had a band and like he texted them and were like, and are separating. So like, I feel like I might need to take a step back. And I was like, I didn't know that that was what was happening because like, and he sent that text and then like someone in the group, this is so crazy, so small town, who was like really good friends with my cousin's husband was like, hey, is everything going okay? Like, I just got this text. And then I was like, how can you be like saying this? And like, we haven't talked about it. So to me, that kind of gave like a clear point of like where his mind was. And of course, like it's not like it was over immediately. Like we were still like talking and like texting. And, like I didn't know what I was going to do for a while.
Right. But he had already kind of made
a
decision for you.
And that's how I felt about it. Like he did this thing and then said those things after. And like, to me, like that said more than just like anything that came after it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at what point did you find out, like, about the pregnancy?
Like, a month later.
So, it was probably that, like, night that...
Yeah. Because as from both, they both say, like, that was, like, the only time they ever, like, hooked up. Like, I think it was, like, a one-night stand situation.
Did you know the girl?
No. Only, like an... If I had seen her in person, I never would have spoken to her. Like, she, like, went to the church that we had gone to for a while that we, like, we weren't there anymore. And I, like, knew of her, but I didn't know her. And then like ran into her at like a local restaurant one day after I found out that they were having the child. So
Oh my gosh.
I feel like this is just a great episode of small town USA.
Small town drama.
Yeah.
I have so many questions. And whatever you feel comfortable answering, obviously, seems like a somewhat religious community. Like, you know, you guys go to church. Yeah. And was having premarital sex allowed, or was it looked down upon?
Looked down upon.
Yeah. And so for obviously like this infidelity to happen, like it was
it's like a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly there's just like a lot of weight around those kinds of actions in this like community, whether it's infidelity or like premarital relations or whatever it might be. And I'm sure that also probably ties into somebody getting pregnant and like choosing to keep a baby. Is it like, and you tell me, like, I really don't know, is it a choice or like, is it, would it be looked down upon if she like chose not to keep it?
I like don't even know like where you would go. Like
in North Carolina, like,
well, no, like before like Roe versus Wade was overturned and all of those different, all those things started happening, North Carolina was considered like a safe haven for abortions in the South. But now like the state's pretty much flipped fully red.
Really? Okay.
So like, I don't think that's the case or going to be the case anymore. But I mean, from where I grew up, I think most people like would choose to
keep it.
Yeah. Choose to, or like, I don't really know, like if it's a choice for some people.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Some people, because it is like a religious community, like, because even if you're not attending church, even if you're not like involved in the church, you still probably grew up going and hearing about it. But I can't say because like I've never had anyone close to me
in that situation.
Debating it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so interesting because I feel like, you know, I grew up in this completely like the biggest city, most liberal place.
Yeah.
And my immediate inclination would be like, oh, I have a choice. Like there, and it's nobody's choices, but like,
which is like,
yeah.
Whenever like this girl found out that she was pregnant, I just remember him telling me like their text message exchange and him saying, you can't have an abortion. Mm. And she was like, yeah, I would never do that.
Mm.
So I think like,
it's like not even in the conversation.
Like maybe,
really.
Yeah. And maybe they like knew that someone might suggest it. I don't really know because like I wasn't a part of that conversation either.
Mm.
And I feel like that's not really like my story to tell.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of layers.
Obviously. But yeah, basically the point is it's like maybe not as much of a choice as we might consider it to be like here. So when you found all of that information out, were you still trying to figure out what you were going to do, or were you just like, I'm already out the door?
I think luckily, like my decision was made before. Mm-hmm. Like I say luckily because I can never say like, oh, like if he wasn't having a baby, like my choice would have been different. Like I'd made my mind up before.
Mm-hmm.
And then found out. So it was just like a, almost like a confirmation. But at first I kind of debated. I mean, it's just like, you don't know what you're going to do because you're in a relationship and like, you love someone and like you're with them for a reason. You got married for a reason. There are like a lot of things to consider.
Yeah. So after all of this, what happened? You came to New York? Like what, so, where did your life go from there?
Yeah. So that was, it was the like end of winter, early spring when all this was like, when everything like hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up moving to Raleigh and I lived with my best friend and that was really fun.
This was 2021?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah, so last year. So I moved with my best friend and her sister moved in a few months later. That was really fun. Like all of my friends from college, almost all live in that area, like still live in Raleigh or near Raleigh. So it was honestly like a really lovely year of just like reconnecting with my friends and kind of getting to have like that group again, because there were friends that I would like check in with every now and then and like talk to, but like that I didn't always see that often.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nice to just kind of like, I always say like I lost a marriage and lost that relationship, but I gained like I gained a lot of friendships back, and just like can't give enough props to my girls for like being there for me and like letting me like be kind of emotional and be kind of crazy sometimes, and just like the way like my friends and family really like supported me was really awesome. But I was living in Raleigh, and then I was working. I was a reporter at the time for a nonprofit newsroom. So I was getting to travel a lot because we covered the entire state. So I lived in North Carolina my entire life, but really had just been like in my small town, Chapel Hill, and kind of around. So I got to travel all over. So I was in New Bern, which is like the northeastern part of the state. And then I was in like the mountains and like Cherokee and Clay counties. And so I was like really close to like traveling from one end to the other and got to see a lot of the state I'd never seen before. So that was really fun.
So your world got to like open up a little bit again after all of this happened. And what prompted you to come to New York then?
So I'd been working at my job for about a year and I was really liking it. And I was like, I want to get better. How can I get better? And I heard about the program at NYU, and I was like, oh, that sounds really fun. And I would like also get to be in New York. But I like didn't apply. I started the application, didn't finish it. And then got an email from the J school, and they were like, hey, like it's past the deadline, but you still have time to apply. So I was like, oh, well, like I'll apply. And if I get in, like, because I didn't think I would get in because I don't have like a ton of reporting experience, and like, but it worked out because I got in. And so then spent like, I think I found out in March or April. So then just spent like this last chunk of time, like preparing and like relishing and like that time with my friends and family.
And now you're in New York. what a wild ride. Like you've lived a whole different life before like coming here. I think a lot of people come to New York for something like a fresh start or a new experience. There's so much allowance for that to happen here. And like, you can become whoever you want to become in this city, which is magical. Like, you have everything at your fingertips to kind of make that happen and meet the people you want to meet and create the life that you hopefully want to create. There's every kind of person here and every kind of opportunity. For you now, like, what are you kind of looking for and what are you interested in? And have you been dating?
No, I haven't been dating. Not since I've moved here. And honestly, like, not a lot in the past, like, year and a half, I guess, like... I'm a little like apprehensive to like dip my toes in the water. I got on the apps because everyone was like, just start on the apps, get like a few dates in, it'll be really easy. But I like felt so icky. And I think I told you this like when we talked earlier this week, just like making a split second decision about someone, like probably purely based on looks. And it just felt icky to me. And I like was not having a good time. I was like, I just meet someone the old fashioned way, which has not happened. But no, like, I mean, I've like, I would like to date, but that's, I'm not like, I'm not on the apps cause I'm not actively pursuing it. It's not like I need a boyfriend right now, or I need a relationship right now. I need a person right now. I've spent like the last year and a half, like really gaining my independence back and being really happy, like with who I am, that it doesn't feel like it's something I need. It's like, if it happens, that's great. And it happens.
Yeah. Look, from every relationship, good or bad, I feel like you learn something. So if you were to kind of like talk about qualities of what you might be looking for in someone, whether it's emotional, physical, like how would you kind of describe your, like if you have any preferences?
Like a type.
Yeah. If you have a type or like, and type doesn't have to just mean physical, right? Like it could also be like, I like these kinds of like qualities in a person or how they make me feel.
Yeah. That's hard to say because I haven't really thought about it. I like this question. I think I'm pretty funny. Like my friends, like with my friends, like I love joking. So I want someone that's pretty like lighthearted and like that I can joke with. But I always say, like, I have to be the funniest person in the relationship, so not, like, as funny as me. I can be a bit of, like, an overthinker, so I like a logical person who, like, sees things, like, pretty cut and dry. My dad's that way. Like, when I'm, like, overthinking something, I can call my dad, and he can, like, help me, like, really break it down to what the issue is. Someone who's logical and, like, just, like, wants to have a good time. Like, I, like to do fun things, and I'm not a big planner, and I wouldn't say that I'm, like, overly spontaneous, but who can pick up when they want to and, like, wants to, like, go do whatever.
Yeah. And would you say physically you have any preferences or you're open?
No, my family always says I don't. I just like who I'd like. No, I mean, that sounds horrible. I should answer that question more clearly. It sounds like I don't know what I like. I just... let's see. Like, I love when guys have really thick eyebrows. That's like a random feature. I like the mustache trend. Guys should keep doing the mustache. But I don't know. I just like, I think I find like a lot of different types of guys attractive. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm being so unhelpful.
No, it's fine. I mean, look, you're open to like,
yeah.
And I think that's the best kind of attitude to have. Also, you have this opportunity where you're like opening up your life by like moving to a new city. You're studying, like you're advancing your career. Like, you can have like open preferences. That's fine. See whatever comes your way. And so if you have been on any dates, has it been like an issue at all for anyone? If have you had to mention that you've been like married or divorced, or it's because in the grand scheme of things, it was only a year. It was basically just like,
it was just like another year of dating, I guess.
Like being in a relationship. Yeah.
I think like early on, like I was like kind of like flirting with someone and like got like a friend to like drop a hint, and they were like, she's got a lot of stuff going on. I don't want to be in the middle of that. But that was like pretty like early on. So I think I've talked to other guys that definitely knew that I was like separated or divorced and like didn't care.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I don't come with any attachments from that marriage. Like, it's effective. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, there's no kids or anything, which I think would be, you know, I don't know.
A lot harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. If, like, cut and dry, you were just, like, in a relationship for, like, 3-4 years.
Right. Yeah.
And you broke up. A year of that was just had civil union. You right. know?
Yeah. Had some legal ties. Yeah.
Had some legal ties. Are you guys, like, still in contact or at all? Like, how were you able to move on from that? Because I'm like, is breaking up and going through a divorce, like, are probably slightly different things.
Yeah. No, we, like, don't talk. We, like, when we first separated, we were still talking, like, fairly often. Like,
mm-hmm.
But it just came to a point where I was like, this isn't healthy for me. It's not healthy for you. And so, like, we don't talk. We're not friends on social media.
Yeah.
If I know anything about him, it's because someone told me, and I'm assuming probably the same for him. Like towards the end of our divorce, we had to like chat because we had to get the filing process figured out and just like little things like that. But no, we don't talk.
I mean, I also recently went through a breakup, and I feel like that's the best way to do it, is kind of that like no contact and let's both live our lives separately. And
it's just easier to, like, give yourself that, like, mental space.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're coming up on time, so I want to make sure that we get in our last segment, which is called Shots. I ask rapid-fire questions, and you answer them. So okay. You ready to do some shots?
Yeah.
All right. Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Work hard or play hard?
Work hard.
Dine out or delivery?
Dine out.
Laundry or dishes?
Dishes.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Money or fame?
Money.
Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Spicy or mild?
Mild.
Coffee date or drinks date?
Coffee date.
What is your favorite season?
Fall.
What's your favorite song right now?
That's not rapid fire. Oh, I've been killing out the new 1989 Taylor Swift, which is so basic, but the Now That We Don't Talk track is so fun.
What is your drink of choice? It can be alcoholic, non-alcoholic. It doesn't matter.
I can kill out a Dr. Pepper. I like buy them daily. I should buy like a 12 pack.
What would you rate yourself out of 10?
Oh, I've never had to. I guess I'd say I'm a 7.
What is your favorite dating app?
When I was on them, I would use Hinge.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Ooh, I'd name it the Stella after my puppy.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for coming on, especially so last minute. Really appreciated you sharing your story. And, you know, if you are interested in meeting our guest, whether it's romantically or platonically, feel free to reach out on our form at flow.page/drinksfirst or on Instagram. You can find it in our link in bio at drinks.first. I am your host, Ariana Nathani. You can find me on all social media platforms at ariana.nathani. So thank you so much.